Hello, welcome to the online version of worship here at Liberty Baptist Church. We wanted to start providing this venue for you because we can't get together physically, but we can still worship together electronically. So we encourage you to do that. There's some contact information on the board. There's my cell phone number, 544-9089. My email address, you can get me on Facebook. You can reach me at work, 361-5057. And that also contains there the online website for our church. Let me encourage you to check that often for updated downloads for worship and connect groups as well. Now, some people have asked me about the giving. Since we're not meeting together, how are we going to give? And giving is important. But right now, we are not activating the online giving. So if you do choose to give, then let me encourage you to go ahead and mail your check to the church address, 2315 Highway 31 North, Deatsville, 36022. At some point in time, we may activate the online giving, but that is not what we're going to be doing at the moment. Let me encourage you to keep in contact with your brothers and sisters by phone, email, text messages, however you choose to do that. And also, let me encourage you to let me or one of the deacons know of any needs. If somebody, especially shut-ins or elderly, has a need, then please feel free to call me anytime or call one of the deacons to let us know about that. As well as doing that, let me encourage you to individually continue to pray, to worship, to study, and to minister. The church is not the building. The church is alive, and the church is still functioning. So as you have opportunity, continue to do that. Just because we can't gather together in the physical building does not mean we still cannot be the church, because we are and will continue to be so. So let me encourage you to do that and then worship with us today as we are bringing you worship electronically.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Heavenly Father, we come to You, even though we can't gather together as a large congregation, we still can come to You. Whether two or three are gathered together in Your name, You tell us that You're in the midst. So we welcome You here, Father, in our midst today. Here as well as in every location where this is viewed and listened to. Lord, thank You for the technology that we have to be able to do this. Thank You for the ones who are willing to come and record this for others to hear and to worship together with. Lord, we are in the midst of dark times, and we are not surprised because You told us in Your Word that we're going to have that. But Lord, You've also told us that we're not going to face these days alone. So we rejoice in that knowledge and in the fact that Your Spirit is here with us today, tomorrow, and through whatever else may come. So we pray that as Your church, not the building, but the living, breathing church, that we will be bold in proclaiming Your truth, that we will be passionate in living out Your Word, and that we will touch others with Your love and Your truth in the midst of a dark and a desperate time. Thank You, Father, again for this opportunity. May we worship You now in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
In times like these, You need a Savior. In times like these, You need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need a Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
We normally light the candle during this time of the service to remember those that are serving, especially those that are serving overseas and our first responders, and we light it today as well, remembering these and others in our hearts and minds, first responders, medical personnel, those that are now on the front lines of this battle in our nation as well. So join with us as we pray for these and saying God bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Thank you.
Father, help us to open our ears, open our eyes, and open our hearts. You have something that you want us to understand. You have something you want us to do. Help us to not be caught up in the paralyzation of fear and darkness, but Father, to trust you, to walk in the light as you are in the light, to share the love that you have shared with us, to display life and life more abundantly. You tell us in your word that the schemes of Satan, the devices of hell, will not prevail against your church. And we rest on that promise today. Though we may not can physically gather together this week or maybe even for several weeks, Lord, we know that the church is not stopped. The church is not defeated. The church is not finished. The church is alive even more so today than before. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to still proclaim your truth, to live out that truth, to be a witness for the light and the love and the life that comes only from you in the midst of darkness and despair and discord. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here today. And we pray, Father, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is entitled, Comfort My People. And the first verse of Scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, where it starts off with these same words, Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah's message to the people was a message of judgment, a message of things that brought discord, that brought fear on the people because they had failed to follow God's directions. But in the midst of the judgment, Isaiah still brought a message from God of comfort, that God intends for His people to be comforted even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of discord, even in the midst of difficulty or death. We can still take comfort from God and His Word. Continuing on in chapter 41 of Isaiah, God tells us in verse 10, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We are to depend upon Him, not in our own power, not in what man may say, not in anything else, but in God and in God alone. The key verses today, though, are from Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 is the key verse, and I'm going to actually start in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit, now that's with a capital S, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image, or to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm going to skip on down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we do know, or at least we should know, that all things will work together for those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Not necessarily the way we want it to work out, not necessarily the way we think it should work out, but the way God will work it out, the way God plans to work it out, and it will be for our good, no matter what may come. So then, we all know that everywhere you look, every place you look, everybody you talk to, everything in conversation, the coronavirus comes up. Well, as I said before, the world of man is afraid. It is very afraid. And they fear. They fear the unknown. They fear the darkness. They fear the pain. They fear being alone. They fear being powerlessness. And they fear death. And indeed, mankind rightfully fears that, because man has no power in and of himself. But Christians do not fear, at least we should not fear, because we're told in God's Word that perfect love casts out fear. The love of God will cast out fear. We look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Him, we trust Him, we live and walk in Him, and we have the assurance that He will never leave us alone. Whether it's a virus you're talking about, whether it is persecution in some other part of the world, no matter what it may be, we are not alone. We never have been, we never will be, because we have the assurance that He is with us, and we should not fear, because we have hope. And this hope is not a pie in the sky hope. This hope is an assurance of what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in our lives and this world as well. We need to take pause and really take encouragement from the fact that the world has stopped. The world is still, probably stiller than it has been, at least in my lifetime. And perhaps, maybe, during this stillness, mankind will listen and will hear. They need to hear the hope of the gospel. They need to hear the love of the gospel. They need to hear the peace of the gospel. They need to hear the life of the gospel. They may not hear it from anybody else other than somebody who already has it. You may be, Christians, you may be the first gospel these people ever read. Let them hear it from you, and then be encouraged to go read it for themselves. Let them see something different in your life than they see on TV and online and in the world around them. Some things we want to look at today, three things very quickly, as we consider being calm, that God sends this calmness in our lives in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this difficulty, in this midst of the fear that seemingly everybody else has. The first thing we need to understand is we need to focus on Jesus. It's hard to be afraid if you're focused on Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you consider the Word of God, when you consider the message that God has given us from the beginning in Genesis to the end in Revelation, you will see that it is all about Jesus. From the beginning to the end, it is pointing to Him in the Old Testament. It is telling us about Him in the New Testament. And then Revelation points to what He's already done from that perspective. So it is all about Jesus. Scripture tells us that the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain before the creation of the world. God intended Him to be our sacrifice. He has provided all that is necessary in Christ and in Christ alone. You see, Jesus created life. He sustains life and He secures life. Man doesn't do that. Government doesn't do that. Hospitals don't do that. Now, I'm thankful for the healthcare workers that are giving over and above the call of duty during this time. But life really comes from God. It's given by God. It's sustained by God, and it's secured by Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, there is no life. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." You will not find life anywhere else other than in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me suggest that rather than looking at the problem, whether it is a virus, whether it is a terminal illness, whether it is a financial burden, a relational issue, or any other problem that we may encounter, let me suggest, rather than looking at the problem, look to the power. Jesus Christ is that power. We are not going to have power over any of these problems unless we find that power in Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Him, not on the fear, but on the power. Cut off the television, get away from the internet, and focus on Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to worship. Worship individually. It's sort of hard to worry if you're singing praises to Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to do that. Also, we need to understand that He is working. He has not taken a vacation. He has not gone anywhere. God is still in control. Even though the institutions of man have shut down or are shutting down or appear to be closed, God is not closed. He is not out of business. The church may not can meet at the physical place that we normally do, but the church is still alive. Be the church. Be the church for those that you do encounter. Be the church for those that you talk to. Be the church online. We're all online now. You're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on wherever you are. Let people hear the heart of God through all of this. So focus, first and foremost, focus on Jesus, not on the virus, not on the problems, not on, oh my goodness, what am I going to do tomorrow? Focus on Jesus Christ today. Let Him be concerned about tomorrow and the next day. Secondly, if we're going to be calm, then not only do we need to focus on Jesus, we need to have a faith in Jesus. Now let me hasten to say at the very beginning that a faith in Jesus is not saying, I know there's a God. The devil knows that. The rocks and the trees know that. Simply knowing there's a God is not the same thing as knowing Him personally. A faith in Jesus Christ that is going to sustain us through this kind of difficulty, a faith in Jesus Christ that is going to sustain us through life, is going to be a real, active, living faith deep down, not just a head knowledge, but a real action-based trust in Jesus Christ. The faith I have in Him will move me to live like that. Not just to talk like that or to think like that, but to live like that. Do I really trust Him? Scripture says, are we persuaded? Paul says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Are we fully and truly and completely persuaded? Because if we are, then we will act like it. We will live like it. We will think like it. We will do things. Our life will be different if our faith is truly in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, His Word tells us that without faith, we cannot please God. Not that you might not. Not that you probably won't, but you cannot please God without faith. Ephesians tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. If you want to look at it that way, faith may be the transmission that activates the grace in our lives. So we need to have faith. Not just need to, we've got to have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Not what somebody else says He is, not what we feel like He should be, but who He says He is in His Word, who He has demonstrated Himself to be throughout history. We depend upon Him. Our faith is in Him. We may not understand everything that's going on. That's okay. We may not understand all of His Word. You're not ever going to understand all of His Word. That's okay. But we can place our faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. It is not Jesus Christ plus something else. It's not Jesus plus the law. It's not Him plus religion. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It is in Jesus Christ alone. When we stand before God, and everybody will, it's not going to be how good a life did you live. It's not going to be how much money did you make. It's not going to be about any of that. It's going to be what did you do with Jesus Christ? Did you trust Him with your life? Did you have a childlike faith belief in Him, and did you trust Him with your life? Because there is no life in anywhere else, there is no salvation anywhere else except in the person, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you today, are you facing the coronavirus or whatever else may be going on in your life? Are you facing it alone, or are you facing whatever the situation may be in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you are, if you know Jesus, really know Jesus, then you are assured of a victory. If you don't know Jesus, then I'm going to tell you today, you are assured of defeat. Because the only life, the only eternity is going to be found in Him and in Him alone. Thirdly, there is a fearlessness in Jesus. We can be fearless in Jesus. Jesus was the most fearless person I've ever known. And you might think, well, He's God. And that's true, He is. But look at His disciples. He took a ragtag bag of fishermen and a tax collector and other kind of folks and turned them in to fearless individuals. Now you might say, well, I thought Peter denied Jesus. He did. But look what happened after Jesus was crucified, after He arose. Those same fearful individuals became fearless, and they turned the world upside down. How did they do that? They did that because in Jesus they were fearless. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was apparently not a very physically imposing individual. Now, we don't know the details, but based on Scripture, it sounds like, you know, he was not a James R. Ness. He was not a John Wayne. He didn't tower over individuals. Physically, he was not very scary, I guess. But in Christ, he was fearless. He said, and he was not bragging. He said, it does not matter if Rome kills me or if they don't kill me, it will be okay. How could he say that? Because he was fearless in Christ, because he knew he was in Christ, and he knew what the end result was going to be. Romans 8:28, it was going to be okay, because no matter what happened, Jesus had him, and Jesus had whatever it is. So we need to be fearless in Jesus. If we have our faith in Jesus, if we are focusing in Jesus, then we will be fearless. You don't have to be a 6'5", 295-pound football player to be fearless. If you're in Jesus, really in Jesus, you can be fearless, because you will be walking in the light, not in the darkness of the world, not in the craziness of the world, but in the light of God's Word, in the light of God's truth. And no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, that light will illuminate your path today, right here. We're not talking about 5 years down the road. Today, where you are and where you need to step. Are we fearless in Jesus? If we are, then we will walk in love. The world is not about love. The world is all about self. But if we walk in Jesus, then we are fearless, and we can love fearlessly. Somebody asked me one time, well, you know, what if people don't love you back? Well, they're not going to love you back. But God says love anyway. How can you do that? I can't, but Jesus Christ can. And His Spirit living in me can do that. And as we walk fearlessly, we can love fearlessly as well. Not only that, but if we're fearless in Jesus, we're going to be walking a victorious life. No matter whether you are a millionaire or just about broke, what you make does not determine victory in life. The educational degree you've got is not going to determine victory in life. The possessions you may have, none of that's going to determine whether you are victorious in life. What you have done for Christ, walking with Him, is going to determine whether you are victorious in life or not. Fearlessness is only going to be there if we're walking in Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let others see, let others hear, let others feel Jesus in you. God knows you can go online now and all you see is fear and all kinds of crazy stuff about this virus. I'm not saying the virus is not real, it is. But I'm saying we don't need to be fearful if we trust Jesus Christ, because He has driven the fear out with His perfect love. Do you believe that? Are you walking in that? You know, God tells us in His Word, Jesus said, I must go away so that the Father can send the Comforter. And He further said, it is to your benefit for me to do that. And the disciples were a little bit unsure what He meant. They said, because I'm sure they're thinking, well, Lord, you know, You're here with us. How can it be better if You're not here? But Jesus knew that for God to send His Spirit was to our benefit, because Jesus had in human body can only be in one place at one time. But the Spirit of God can be in all of us at all times, in all places, and we can rely upon and have fellowship with the Spirit of God always, everywhere, in everything we do. He is the Comforter with a capital C, and God knows we need some comfort today. And the only place you're going to find comforting is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. Make sure that you do not face this virus or any other darkness alone. Face it in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know exactly what that means. That means that you confess your sins to God. You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've come short of Your glory. Will You forgive me of my sins, Lord Jesus? Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And if you really mean that, if you really pray that, He will do that. His Spirit will take up residence in your life right wherever you are listening to my voice today, whether you're at home, whether you're in the car, wherever you may be listening to this. If you do that, He will guarantee you eternal life, and He will guarantee you the presence of His Spirit in your life, and you will not face this virus or any other darkness alone ever again. Here's your compass point. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no peace. There is no life. There is no light apart from Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you today, wherever you are, to seek Him. Scripture says, those who seek Him with all of their heart, He says, I'll be found by them. So let me encourage you to do that, to seek Him, to ask Him to save you. You have the assurance, based on God's Word, that He will absolutely do that. Father, in these next few moments, as we have this closing hymn, I pray that the people who have heard this message, who have partaken in this worship experience, Lord, that they will understand that they need You, that they can't do it by themselves, None of us can. We don't have the power, we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the ability to make it. None of us. We're not saved by how good we are. We are only saved by having a relationship with the living, loving Lord of the universe, and His name is Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will make that decision to ask You, Lord Jesus, to forgive them, to come into their heart, and to save them. Lord, thank You for those that came out to the building today to record this message and to provide this opportunity for others to worship together. In this closing hymn, Father, I pray that we will be individually and together, even though we can't physically come together in the building, we can still be together in worship today, Your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Well,